not many people read or pay much attention to 3 John. We're going to read the whole book. We're going to read the whole book. You can tell people you read a whole book today. 3 John. Say amen when you got it. Man, y'all pray for my sinuses. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Behold, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on thy journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Now, here's the Apostle John, undoubtedly the founder of the church. It says the elder unto the well-beloved. He's writing a pastoral letter. It's almost like a love letter if you'll read it. It's like a father writing to his children. Did you see that? He said, in verse 3, he said, "For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that's in thee as thou walkest in truth." He said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." So he feels like a father to these people. And y'all don't know it, and you probably won't believe me if I say it, but pastors feel like a father, spiritual father to people. Not like a earthly father that would be able to do a whole lot, but a spiritual father that tries to encourage you in the Lord and tries to get you to grow spiritually. I can't come to your house and fix your finances, but I can help you know what the Bible says about your finances. I'm not your father. The Bible says don't call any man on earth father. There's only one father, that's God. But we have some spiritual fathers, really, and this is the way that John is writing to them. He's writing to them as their pastor, a pastoral letter. And he's trying to encourage them. He's got a little bit bad to say, but he's got a whole lot good to say, too. Now, I've known some pastors, all they preached was bad. If they didn't have something to preach against, they'd have nothing to preach at all. That's the truth. I can say that. Then I've known other pastors who didn't preach against anything. All they had was good things to say. It was unbalanced. That was deceptive, because not everything's good. And not all that happens to us is good. And not all that we do is good. And we're not good, except by the Father. So, there's got to be a balance with a pastor. Look, I kid, you know, I'll say, well, I don't know what's going on right here. I just work here. Well, that's not true. It's not true. This is my life. This is my calling. This is what I do. You go home, forget about it. I don't ever forget about it. You go to work, you don't think a thing about what's going on at church, people at church, what's going to happen next Sunday, who's going to clean the building, who's going to cut the grass, are people going to pay enough tithes, you know, to build a new building. Those things don't enter your mind until you come to church, which is okay, and occasionally you might pray that way. But most of the time, your life is running along a different path than mine. This is my whole path. This is it. This is what I live and breathe. I'm really kind of boring. People kind of want to take me and my wife to lunch and stuff. Now, you can talk to my wife. She's got a lot to talk about. I mean, she's a school teacher. She's got all, and she's pretty intelligent. But when you talk to me, I don't have much to talk about. I don't have any hobbies. I bought an old car a few years ago claiming to work on it, and I've been barely piddling around with it for 3 or 4 years and cranked it up the other day, Brother Bill. I tried to crank it. It wouldn't crank. But I don't have hobbies. I don't have, I don't play golf. I did play golf twice and found out that was, boy, that's a waste of time. I don't know anything about sports. I don't know who played the last World Series, and I don't know who's playing the next one. I don't know who's in the Super Bowl. I don't know who played the last one. I don't know who's playing the next one. I don't know that stuff because it doesn't interest me. What interests me is the work of God and doing things for people, doing things for people. And sometimes my wife will try to encourage me or pat me on the back a little bit and say, boy, you did a good job helping those people there, helping them do that. And I don't feel like I did a good job. I think I just did my job. I did what I was supposed to do. I didn't dread it. I did it because I wanted to do it. You understand what I'm saying? So that's the way John is writing this book right here. He's writing as the elder. Now, I'm your elder. I know I don't look like it in age. But spiritually, I'm the elder. I'm the pastor. I'm the bishop. All those words mean the same thing. They all have the same qualifications. They're all the same office. They all mean the same thing. And so, therefore, when I preach or teach or something, I never have an agenda. I never have an agenda. I've known preachers, you know, they'd get an agenda. They were going to build a building or something, you know. So for the next 2 or 3 years, that's all their sermons would be about. Would be about building the Nehemiah building the wall and all that stuff, you know. And that might go on for a year because that's their agenda. Or it may be anti-abortion, or it may be homosexuality or something like that. Y'all know what I'm saying? You can see some pastors have an agenda. They're trying to accomplish something, which is fine, I guess, but what I do is I preach to help people. I don't have an agenda. Hardly ever will you hear me preach on a subject like just homosexuality. Now, I will include it as sin, but hardly ever will you hear me preach just a sermon on that because, see, you're sitting in here and they're out there and they can't hear me and you're not guilty. So, I'm wasting your time. See, I don't have to preach on a lot of things in here that's going on out there. And sometimes people come to church, I just don't understand why the preacher don't preach on this, preach on that, because that doesn't affect the people in here. And I'm trying to help the people in here. I can't change the world out there except by the people that's in here. And they go out there and change. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's a pastor, see. That's a pastor. And as a pastor, I feel like John, he says in verse 2, he's talking to Gaius. Now, Gaius was the good church member. He was a good church member. And must have had a position of authority because the letter was addressed unto him. He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." That's what a pastor says. A pastor doesn't get mad at people and hate people and go against people. A pastor, he prays for his folks to prosper. I've known people get mad because somebody get a new car. If you get a new car, I'm going to say, "Praise God, you got you a new car. Thank God. Amen. Now, I hope you can keep the payments." I hope you did a wise thing when you got that car. But I'm not against that. Somebody gets a new house, and I go to the house, I say, "Glory to God, the Lord give you a nice house." because that's what I want. That's what I want people to see. I never think, you know, I could have a nicer house, but I look at church members sometimes and I think, Lord, I wish they had a better house. Do you understand what I'm saying? I never think, man, I could have a nicer car, but sometimes I look at church members and I think, Lord, they need a better car. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, that's the way John's writing to these people. He says, beloved. Beloved. Now, in every church, you got good kids, you got bad kids. Just like every family. You got good kids and got bad kids. And I tell people all the time, and it shocks people when I say this, but you shouldn't hang around with everybody that you go to church with. There's some people you go to church with that are not at a place in their life where you, the places in your life that you even need to be around where they're at, because they're way behind you. And they might drag you down. You'd be better off to go a different direction than to hang around with that one. And I would tell you that personally. I would never tell you that from up here. But I'd tell you that. I've told people. I said, look, you ought not let your kids hang around with those kids right now. They're not where they ought to be yet. You understand what I'm saying? That's not anybody's any better than anybody else. It's just a father looking at the family saying, now, that one can't sleep in the same room with that one, and that one can't eat on the same side of the table as that one, because there's going to be trouble. Y'all see what I'm saying? Now, y'all think everybody just comes in here and everything's honky-dory and everybody gets along and everything runs good. It doesn't. It's just you don't see when it don't. And I have to call them all beloved. And so you can get mad at them and go home and pout over it a little bit and get over it. But I every day I got to think about them. Every day I have to pray for them. Every day I've got to figure out ways to help them or encourage them or something. Every day I got to think about stuff. So that's what John's doing, see. He's saying, Gaius, I love you in the truth because I know you're walking in the truth. He said, I rejoice greatly because somebody came to me and told me you were doing real good in verse 3, and they testified of the truth that's in thee. In verse 4, he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And that's where a pastor is too. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and the strangers which have borne witness of thy charity, talking about him now, before the church. In other words, this man's got a reputation in the church that he's a loving, charitable man. That's his reputation. That's his testimony. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And boy, he's just really bragging on this fella. He said in verse 7, because for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing. Now what he's talking about is those brethren that came through there that had nothing, and this man helped them on their way. And that's the way we'll do. We'll not look at people, other saints, when they're passing through or they're having trouble or something. We'll not look at them and try to figure it out or try to... sometimes tragedy will happen in people's lives. Now, you listen to me. You listen real close. Sometimes tragedy will happen, and other Christians will look at them and say, well, if he hadn't been drinking liquor, that never would have happened. And you don't know why it happened. And what you're saying is God judged him by killing his youngins because he drank liquor. You don't know that. That tragedy in Los Angeles, I can hear it now. People saying, well, if that man at that country concert drinking beer and liquor, God wouldn't have let that happen. You don't know why that happened, and God didn't handle that gun. The devil did. Now, I'm not saying those people... Some of them might have been saved. I don't know. Some saved people like country music. I don't understand why, but they do. You know what you get when you play country music backwards? You get your truck back. You get your dog back. You get your wife back. but I never say that, boy, those storms, a lot of people say, well, storms went through down there in Florida because a bunch of wicked sodomites. You don't know that. God runs the storms. God runs. I'm not going to try to figure out what God does and what's going on in people's lives. I'm just going to have charity on people. Charity means giving type of love. It doesn't mean money. It means giving out kind of love. And we'll love everybody. Is that not right? We'll love everybody. We don't have to like the way they live. We don't have to like the way they act or dress. But we're supposed to love them enough to want them saved. Amen? And I better go on. This man did. That was his reputation, see. He said, verse 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have preeminence among them, receive us not. In other words, here's another man in church that wouldn't receive John. Had the church loved this man. Amen? And look, John had slept with the Lord and ate with the Lord and walked with the Lord and listened to all his sermons. I'd fall at his feet. But here's a man that wouldn't do it. In the same church as the other man that had a reputation for being charitable, here's another man that had a reputation for wanting the preeminence. You know what the preeminence is? It means wanting first place. Wanting first place. Now, some people want a spotlight. They want a spotlight, and they want that light to shine on them, and they want everybody to know who they are and what they've done and what they do and how great they are and how wonderful they are. And if anybody else comes along that dims that light, they get mad. And that's the way this man, he didn't want John down there, because he knew if John came in, then people was going to listen to John, not listen to him. Y'all see what I'm saying? That's the starting of a cult right there. They said, Jim Jones. Y'all remember him? You remember the Jim Jones massacre? Some of you too young remember that? 900 people committed suicide under this man's orders. It was a church. Started out as a Church of Christ. I think it was in L.A. Started out as a Church of Christ. The man got awards from the president and the governor and the mayor and all that for social work. Hey, went into this poor neighborhood and he was feeding people and clothing people and housing people. And he got a big, big following. And then, y'all remember him, don't you? Wore sunglasses all the time. That's because he's on drugs. But then he quit preaching the Bible and he started making stuff up. God told me. God said to me, God is leading me. I feel led. Watch out when people say, I feel led. We don't go by feelings. I feel like, and I'm the head around here, and this is what we're going to do. And this is true. One time, and I saw a picture of it. One time he took the Bible and threw it down and put his foot on it, and he said, and he cussed. And he said, too many of you blankety-blank people is reading this blankety-blank book, and you're not listening to me. And the government saw him as a revolutionary then. And then he said the government was persecuting him. They were not. The government was trying to find out how much money he was taking in because he was a crook. It was the IRS that was after him. So then he moved his whole congregation over to Guyana. Was it Guyana? Guyana. He's from California. He would know. Moved them over there. And then they lived in huts and shacks, men, women, children. And then he started swapping wives and husbands and all this stuff. You know, it became a cult and it became all kind of crazy stuff. And when he found out that the FBI was coming in to shut him down, they were up there about 4 years. He had the preeminence. If anybody went against him, he had them killed. And then he said, he didn't say this to the people, but here's what he really said. If you're not going to follow me, you ain't following nobody. We're all going to die. And they laced that Kool-Aid with poison, and he demanded that they drink it. A lot of them wouldn't drink it, and the ones that wouldn't drink it, he told his bodyguards, me and y'all are the last ones going to die, and anybody that doesn't drink it, you're going to shoot them. So they shot a bunch of them. Now, he had the preeminence, see. He had the preeminence. Watch out for that. Watch out. He said, he doth prating against us. That means he's talking all the time. With malicious words, not content. He's not content. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren. In other words, he don't listen to what they say either. And forbiddeth them that would. In other words, he's deciding who joins church, who don't. See, he's deciding that. And he's forbidden those that would join the church. He won't receive the brethren. And he casts them out of the church. So if you ever stood up and disagreed with him, then he had you thrown out of the church. See? Now that's the preeminence. He had made himself Lord. Lord. Master. He run those people with his mouth. Y'all hear me? You can run people with your words. And he was running that church with his mouth. Now, he just left a good church member full of truth and love and charity and faithfulness with the brethren and with strangers. And now we jump over here. Here's a guy that defamed people. He destroyed their prospects. He desired preeminence. He disregarded the pastors. But wait a minute. It ain't all bad news. He said, verse 11, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." Now, I'm not an English scholar. I do read very well. I always have. I've always loved to read. And young people, guess what made me want to learn how to read? And I've took all kind of reading tests, and I always score real high. Comic books. When I was a kid, Mama used to give me a dollar to go to the barber shop once every month or two. Depending if it was summertime. If it was summertime, it'd be farther apart. But in school days, she'd look at me, she'd say, "You need to go get a haircut, you look like white trash." That's what she'd say. She'd say, "Take this dollar and go up there to the crossroads." There was a barber shop on the crossroads. I'd walk up there, and it cost 50 cents to get me a haircut. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? It shouldn't cost no more than that now. Ain't much good. So I'd take, it cost 75 cents for a haircut. Later on it went up to a dollar, but at first it cost 75 cents. And comic books were $12. I'm $12. 12 cents. They were 12 cents. And I'd go into the drugstore, which was attached to the barbershop and the gas station, and I'd go in that drugstore and I'd buy me a comic book. If I still had those comic books, I'd be a millionaire, man. I had one of the first Batmans. I had the Supermans. I had the Green Lantern. Some of y'all ain't never even heard of the Green Lantern. Y'all remember the Green Lantern? Amen. Hey, I had them all. But then this one company started putting out classic stories in comic book form. They drew pictures with the story. Like Edgar Allan Poe's story, Telltale Heart. Or Great Expectations. Some of y'all don't even know what that is. Great Expectations. Ivanhoe. I know some of y'all learned that in high school. I learned it in a comic book in the sixth grade. In the sixth grade. Listen to me, kid. Listen. You need to learn. You need to read. You need to study. You need to learn. But let me tell you something. Here's something that I learned a long time ago. It's not hard to spot evil and to spot good. I'm not an English scholar, but they tell me that sinfulness is one thing, wickedness is another thing, but evil is when you hurt somebody else. And that's what he says right there. He says, Demetrius, verse 12, he said, "Demetrius hath good report of all men." Underline that. I couldn't say that. Could you say that? Could you put your name right there and say it has a good report of all people? You say, ain't what it means. That's what it says. If you change that, you can change others. We might as well throw it away. He said, this man's got a good report of all men and of the truth itself. He said his testimony was that he was a truthful man and he was a good man. He had a good report. Boy, don't we wish we had that testimony with all men. Now you go around this town, call my name, you better either, you're going to have to pucker or duck. Some people will kiss you, and some of them will want to knock you out. What you smiling at? Probably the same way around where you live. but we don't have, look, and look, I'm not talking about false accusations. I'm talking about this man not only didn't have a false accusation, there wasn't a true one against him either. He had a good report of all men. That's what we'll strive for right there. Not just in the church. Now, we come to church, and we want everybody in here to like us and want everybody here to love us, but you know, we ought to be as adamant about that out there as we are in here. There's some people go to church and probably come here. I don't know that if we went down to their job and asked people they work with, where did that guy go to church? They say, I don't know. I didn't even know he went to church. He's lazy as day is long. There's some people we go down in their neighborhood and ask neighbors about some lady and say, where does she go to church? And they'd say, I don't know. It surprises me if she goes to church. You know. But this man had a good report. Are y'all still with me? Y'all for quiet tonight. Had a good report. Now, and not only that, he said, yea, and we also, he's talking about himself, bear record. And you know that our record's true. He said, I believe the same thing about him. I believe the same thing about him. Now, I used to have a couple in my church, not this church, but another church, and every time an evangelist would come through, they'd want to take him out to eat Sunday dinner. And what they would do was eat pastor. And they'd take the evangelist out and complain about everything in the church and everything I said and everything I did. And every one of those evangelists come back and tell me, and they ought to, and they come back and tell me. And they say, did you know that? I said, yeah. They said, well, why don't you run them off? I said, where are they going to go? Ain't nobody else going to have them. I said, the Lord sent them here. I got to be patient with them, try to help them. And I really thought I could help them. And after 10 and a half years, I left that church and led by one of their rebellions. And they never did get it right. But years later, that family, most of it, walked right in here and sat down right over there one night for a revival. And they've come two or three times for a revival. If I call the name Tim, you know who it is. And sat right over there for a revival. Yep, come from Brother Tony Green. And they gave him a harder time than they did me. Now, I wish everybody, we ought to be able to say that about everybody in church. We ought to bear record and have a good report with everybody. Rick, they ought to at least be able to say this. Well, you know, Pastor Ron, he ain't the greatest Christian, but I think he's a Christian. He's always treated me right. He's always done good by me. Come on. They ought to be able to say that about every one of us. They ought to be able to say, well, I know they got their shortcomings. I've seen them. I got mine too. But I believe they're a Christian. I believe they love the Lord. Don't you think people ought to be able to say that about us? Don't you think people in church ought to be able to say that about us? They ought to be able to say we walk in truth, we have charity, we're faithful like Gaius. And they ought to say that we have a good report and we have a good reputation among people. And they certainly ought not have the other one. I can't pronounce his name very well. Diotrephes, we ought not... Demetrius has a good report of all men, but with the other one, he said that he is a rebel. Diotrephes is a rebel, and he loves to have the preeminence among them, and he won't even listen to us, is what he said. I wouldn't want to be that one. I've never been that one. I can honestly say, since I've been saved, I've never been that man in the church. Now, I've been in churches where they've had church fights. I've been in churches where they almost had fist fights. Billy? I don't want that to happen here. Too many people carry guns and stuff around here. But I've been in churches where they fussed and fought over everything. But I wasn't ever part of it. And I always told every pastor I ever had, I said, look, I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to help you. I want to help you. That's right. And I'd say, now, if I disagree with you bad enough, I'm not going to argue with you. This is your church. God gave His church to you. Now, it would surprise you how many men are not like that. But I'd be scared to be any other way. I'd be afraid God would kill me. And I've seen some go off the scene that I wonder, did God do that? I'd rather be like Demetrius and have a good report of all men and of the truth itself. And verse 13, he said, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. But look, he didn't sound mad at anybody. He didn't even mention that guy again. Look what he said. He said, peace be to thee. He said, our friends salute thee. Now look, in every church you got all kinds of people from all kinds of background. And I know I pick and I laugh and I go on with people, but y'all know I'm picking at you, don't you? Don't you know that, Ron? Y'all know I'm picking at you. Matter of fact, if I don't pick at you, I probably don't like you. And don't sit on the front if you don't want to be picked at. Ain't that right, Rick? The front is not the place to sit in this church if you don't want to be picked at or made an example. This is not the church to sit on the front. I think I'm going to preach from the back one Sunday, though, just to shake things up. No, the sound booth ain't safe either. Not long as that one's in it. But I want a church where people, yeah, they love one another and they want each other to prosper. And they want to honor the brethren. And they want to walk in truth. And they want to be faithful at whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. They want to have charity for His name's sake. Amen. I want a church where the people have a good report outside the church of truth itself. I mean, people ought to know, and I believe they do, people ought to know that the people that go to this church carry the truth with them when they leave. I'll tell you what you do. Go up to the Shepherd's Fold bookstore tomorrow and tell that person that meets you at the front door that you're from Cornerstone Baptist Church, Rock Hill, and you want to buy a new Bible. They'll walk you straight to that left-hand corner over there where it says King James Bible. They won't show you the Bible of the day. They won't try to say the new and improved, homogenized, pasteurized version. They'll take you, because we have a reputation for the truth and not bending on it, not backing up on it. And you know, I don't know why anybody would want to mess that up. Now, there have been people come through that didn't like the way things was done or what the preacher said, but you know, the Lord has always kind of moved them off the scene. I want a place, Linda, where you can come in here and you feel just as good as anybody else in here. You feel just as welcome. I ain't seen you in about 3 months, have I? Been having a hard time. Been moving around. But I want you to know when you come in here, hey, I want you to know we look at you just like anybody else. We don't look at your troubles. We don't look at your past. We don't look at your bank account. We don't look at your education or your standing in the community. We look at you as the children of God, and it's my job to keep that going. That's my job, keep that going. And I believe most people agree with that, to come here. And we got some that come once in a while, but I think even those that come once in a while, they understand what's going on around here. And I just wanted to share my heart with you tonight, that I'm like John. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. See, that new car might be, give you a great joy, and it would give me some joy if you won't give me one. But the greatest joy is to know that people walk out of here, and when they walk out of here, they know the truth and they walk in the truth and love. Amen? Now, we ain't always going to agree in here. You may not like the color of the pews. They was free. You ain't got nothing to complain about. By the way, the next one probably won't be free, so you better enjoy it while you can. You may not like being cramped all the time, but we can fix that. As soon as you put some money in the building fund, we can fix that. You may not always agree with what I preach, but as long as I preach in the Bible, there ain't a whole lot you can say about it. You may not always agree with what other people want to do in church. They may do something that you wouldn't do or do it a way you wouldn't do it, but as long as they're doing it in truth and love, we can't complain. See, I can't do everything. A fellow came to this church one day, probably 2 years after we started, we done turned over a whole crowd by then. A couple, senior sis, and I went to visit them. I talked to him a long time. Then finally, the man looked at me. He said, Pastor, I like you. He said, I like you. He said, I like your preaching. He said, you're a good preacher. He said, but I'm going to tell you, I hesitate coming to your church, and I'm going to tell you why. I said, why? He said, because you do everything. He said, you do everything. You lead the singing, you preach. He said, I'm looking for you to come down there and usher. He said, you out here visiting by yourself? Preacher, you do everything. I said, well, why don't you come and help me? He said, you used to be a deacon. I said, well, if you see the problem, why don't you come help? He said, well, I've done my time. I said, well, I don't get to say that till I get to heaven. When I get to heaven, I can say, well, Lord, I've done my time. I've run my race. I've finished my course. And I wanted to look at him and say, you ain't dead yet. You ain't finished. But we're always going to have disagreements. We're always going to have people that disagree with me sometimes. But you know, growing up, did you agree with your daddy all the time? Help me. Did you love him anyway? That sometimes you look at him and say, Daddy, I think you... To yourself, you never would have said it to him. But to yourself, you say, Daddy, I think Daddy's making a mistake. But you didn't get mad and run off, did you? Huh? You kept eating his grits, didn't you? You kept enjoying his heat, didn't you? Amen. No greater joy than we walk in truth and love and compassion and charity and mercy and grace. Now, you can get critical sometimes. We all do. That's okay. You can do that. I do. But just keep it to yourself unless it's something serious. You know. Kids around here, they think I'm an old man. They don't know. I used to be sitting where they are. And see, I'm smarter than you because I've already lived where you are. Yeah. So don't think the preacher's crazy every time he hollers and goes on. He ain't. Amen. So tonight I'd like to ask you, number one, do you walk in truth? Number two, do you live in truth? Number three, do you share the truth with love and compassion and charity? Or are you one of those critical pratters? Get in the way of the what was going on. That too. Amen. That too. But it was a little more than that because he was really wanting to have the preeminence. A gossip just likes to see people get tore up. A prater wants to take over. Wants to take your place when they're talking about you. I think we've got pretty good around here, don't you? That was awful quiet on that. I'm going to say that. Wait a minute, let me do that again. Some of y'all didn't hear me. I think we got pretty good around here, don't you? Amen. Amen. I think whenever we walk out of those doors, that people out there in the world ought to know that we walk in truth, don't you? They ought to know that we have love and charity and forgiveness and long-suffering and mercy and goodness and all those things. They ought to know that, Anthony. Say amen. If they don't, who's wrong, the Bible or me? Me. So that's all I ask y'all to do here. Now, one day a man walked in and said he wanted to lead the choir. He said, glory to God, I don't care if he ain't got but one lip, one leg. I'm going to let him lead the choir. And he's done pretty good. Another day a guy walks in and says, I can play the piano. He looked like... he could play the drums. I said, get up there. Amen. One day somebody's going to walk in here and say, I can do this stuff right here. And I'm going to test them first. Because they've done that before to me. I'm going to test them first. And if they can, I'll let them. One day some guy's going to walk in here and say, Pastor, you're teaching all the adults. I want to take the younger adults out of here and put them in another room. And I want to teach the younger adults. And if he can teach the Bible, I'm going to let him. Y'all understand what I'm saying? God calls people. Let's encourage people. Let's build them up. Let's don't tear them down. Let's don't criticize them. Let's don't get jealous of them. I ain't jealous of anybody. Let's don't get jealous. Let's say, amen, God, use them because I sure can't do that. Y'all ready to do that? I think that's the step that we're at in this church. I think. See, for a long time, people had this mindset, well, I just love little country church. Well, what that means is you don't want new people and you don't want anybody that does anything different than it's already done, and you don't want things different than what they are. You just want that little me and my four no more, and that the Bible doesn't teach that. He says go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. And we in the South, we are prejudiced. Don't sit there and think race. We're prejudiced against people from up north. We're prejudiced for people from Florida. We're prejudiced against people from Ohio, California. Really, California. California. Michigan. Lancaster. Yeah, y'all make fun of me because I grew up in Lancaster. Let's just love one another, okay? Amen. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. I'm going to preach the truth. If you don't like it, you might want to go somewhere else. I'm going to preach the truth. But I'm going to do it in love. And that may not be the way you would do it. But that's the way I do it. And I'm the pastor. Let's stand.